Paul Peluso from Officer.com. I'm here with Lieutenant Paul Vance from Connecticut State Police. How are you doing today, Lieutenant Vance?
Very well, thank you.
Lieutenant Vance served as a spokesman during the mass shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut on December 14th that killed 20 students and 6 adults. Can you please talk us through what was needed to be done as far as staging and keep the media separated from the scene, still update the public and the families, as well as creating a sense of some sense of control during an incident of this magnitude?
Well, certainly, as everyone knows, this was a very horrific, tragic, delicate scene. It was important that we do several things almost immediately. And number one was to get the families informed and keep the families informed of every movement and everything that was occurring upon their initial arrival at the scene. Once we were able to gain control, if you will, of the scene, it was then necessary to make sure that the townspeople, the people of the state of Connecticut, and the people of the world were kept fully informed as to every step of our investigation and everything that we were uncovering as we were peeling back the onion, if you will, of this situation. What we did was we identified a location that was in somewhat close proximity to the tragic scene, but far enough away where it would not interfere with the movement of law enforcement and the ongoing investigation by the Connecticut State Police. We identified a very large park about 3/4 mile away that had ample parking and enough area to accommodate what we thought was responding media. I must tell you that the influx of media was beyond anyone's comprehension.
Yeah.
We literally experienced response from not only media in New England, but media from all over the world responded to that area to begin the gathering of information.
When from the time that the first call was reported to when you had all this media sort of converged on that area, what do you think the time was?
Well, the time that the media began to converge was almost instantaneous, certainly from the Connecticut area and surrounding surrounding area coming in from Boston and New York and the other large metropolitan cities. Well, our problem was that we needed to corral them. We needed to get them, so to speak, out of the way, out of areas where they could not be and did not belong, but certainly understanding that they had a job to do and we had a job to do, and the two did have to meet. We did have to make every effort to accommodate their needs and make them understand what our needs were. Quite frankly, having been the spokesman for the Connecticut State Police for almost 12 years now, I can tell you on no uncertain terms that this gathering of media was one of the largest I've ever seen, but more importantly, it was one of the most respectful that I've ever seen, understanding the horrific nature of the crime that had been committed, the fact that the families that were devastated in the community of Newtown, and even the heartbreak that the first responders, the ambulance personnel, the fire personnel, and all the law enforcement that responded to that scene and the investigators were experiencing. We needed to have mutual respect, and quite frankly, the media showed it with great colors.
So it sounded like it went fairly well, that you didn't have a lot of incidents of members of the media trying to overstep bounds or getting into places that they shouldn't be.
No, not at all. Not at all. If there were any incidents that we experienced, it would, and we expected it, it was in the area of rumor control. As the media was going out trying to do their job, trying to do things that they normally do, identify people and be the first to report and things such as that, there were times when we held regular scheduled press conferences, which were an extremely important part of our reporting. We were able to hold them frequently enough to curtail and correct rumors that were inaccurate and incorrect. And that was very, very important in order to keep the flow of information and the level of accuracy, very, very concise.
Yes, I remember you guys would hold them almost every couple of hours for the first couple of days there, and that did seem to go very well.
Yeah, we felt that was necessary, again, to really keep the public informed. And as you can, one can certainly appreciate that initially the people in the community wanted to know that they were safe, that we were not looking for people that may have been responsible for this tragic event. We needed to then make sure that the people were fully informed as much as we could as to the progress of our case and as to you know, what we were experiencing as the investigation was ongoing.
Yeah, no, initially they were, you know, as the media does, trying to get there first, trying to get the big story first. There were so many details out there. I think there was a second gunman or a second, like at first you would hear these reports in the media and you didn't know if they were true, but it did seem like you guys were able to do a good job at sort of reeling that stuff in and making sure that the right information was actually out there.
So we had to do that. That was absolutely imperative, important, as one can appreciate. Certainly when this first was evolving, there were so many news helicopters flying above that we're lucky we didn't have an aircraft accident, literally. But, you know, they could see from the air many things that were going on. And as one can understand, the initial response by troopers and by Newtown officers, we needed to get into the school, rescue as many people as possible, stop the aggression, whatever that took, we needed to do, and ensure that the area was safe. And that meant taking anyone who was not recognizable or not recognized as being allowed in that area or in that vicinity and identifying them. And if that meant handcuffing them and detaining them until we did that, that's what happened. And many times it was misinterpreted. And as a matter of fact, it was misinterpreted several times and still is to this day by bloggers and people such as that. But quite frankly, it was to secure the area and to secure everyone and ensure everyone's safety.
Okay. As far as relaying information to the families, how was that done? Was that, you know, separate from relaying information to the media? And how did that go?
Well, the families of the victims are truly the ones that are suffering the most. And what we needed to do from the onset was we assigned a Connecticut State Trooper to each and every family. Each one of the 26 families had a trooper assigned to them. And the intent here was that they needed to have several things. Number one, they needed to be informed first of anything involving this case as it moved forward. And secondarily, their trooper or their individual assigned to them, if you will, could obtain from the investigatory and command operation the answer to any question that they might have relative to anything to do with this case. The troopers were like the umbilical cord from the victims' families to the investigation. And that was established, certainly, to keep that line of communication over. We did not want them to see or hear anything in the media or from any other source after the public had been informed. We wanted them to be on the front line and to know exactly what was happening, what was going on through the entire investigation operation.
Was that effort able to get off the ground pretty quickly, you think?
That effort was off the ground probably within 2 hours of the tragedy occurring. We were able to get those 26 troopers in place and on board and assign them to the families very, very quickly. It was a very efficient operation. It was heartbreaking for many of those men and women troopers that were assigned that duty, but they performed outstanding, and they were able to give to the victims' families, I think, much consolence and certainly help during such a tragic time.
And I guess the last question I'll ask you is, if, you know, another member of law enforcement were to find themselves in this position of having to corral media, to have, I guess, everything set up in a way where it's organized enough to the point where the wrong information doesn't get out there, that the families know before the press does. What tips would you give them to be able to, to not let it get out of control?
Well, I think you need a good media relations team. You need certainly more than one person. You need to be able to communicate with the press. In order to set the media staging area up, sounds relatively simplistic, but it's not something you can go out in the corner with a bullhorn and give them directions as to where this is going to happen and where this is going to be. So it's important that you have a network set up, at least, within your community and within your state, where you can utilize email, you can utilize a website. In other words, when we set up this media staging area, we send email to all of our media contacts throughout the entire state of Connecticut and surrounding states. Additionally, we posted on our website the location and the first briefing time that was going to occur, and we even gave directions to that media staging area to ensure that people could get there. And it established a line of communication. That to me was the most important part of ensuring that we had a good working relationship, was not only holding regular press conferences, but scheduling additional press conferences so that people knew that if they wanted the information, it was coming from one source, and that source was myself. I was assigned as a spokesman for the entire investigation, and to date, I am still the only spokesman and the only one that would give information relative to the case. And that was helpful in two ways. Number one, people knew where to go for answers to questions. Okay, and number two, they knew that if any information was coming out from other sources or from unnamed or anonymous sources, that it could not be construed as being accurate, because it would always, whenever we gave out information, it would always have my name attached to it and would authenticate the information as being true and accurate. That's extremely important in any kind of mass situation, is setting up that line of communication and ensuring that people are able to know where the information is coming from, who's providing the information, and where it's going to be distributed from. And secondarily to that, we backed up all our press conferences with written documentation of what was said at a press conference to, again, restate accuracy to the content of the information.
Well, I'd like to thank you for joining us today, Lieutenant Vance. Everything you said, it really sounds like, things in such a tragic situation went off without a hitch, as far as, corralling, controlling the media and putting them keeping them in a place where, like you said, the wrong information couldn't get out and the families would know before the public did.
And I think it's important, if I may state, that the respect of the media towards the victims and the victim's family in this particular instance in the state of Connecticut was exemplary. It just simply was outstanding. When I asked publicly that they not bother the families and give the families time to grieve, they respected that request. When we interacted with mutual respect, and I can't say enough positive things about how the media reacted in the state of Connecticut during this horrific, tragic situation.
Okay, well, I thank you for joining us today.
Okay, very good.
Okay.